Let's bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I pass along a story given to me about a week ago by one of my fellow Presbyterian colleagues. It's based on what happened in his church. The children were having their rehearsal for the church's Christmas pageant, and the rehearsal seemed to be moving along in the typical fashion as the various passages from Scripture were read and then the children gathered at the manger. First, Mary, then Joseph with the baby doll in the manger, and then the shepherds and the angels. It was time to create the scene of the wise men entering one at a time down the center aisle, dressed in the splendor of kings of old and carrying those traditional gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And all of a sudden, the rehearsal was interrupted due to the protests of one of the wise men. This 11-year-old youngster turned to the church school teacher who was in charge of starting them down the aisle and said, "You told us in Sunday school class that it took the wise men about 2 years to get to Bethlehem after seeing the star. No way did those angels and shepherds hang around that manger for 2 years waiting for us to arrive." Any Sunday school teacher would know, such is the wisdom of an 11-year-old. And of course, he was right. Each year we really tell the story wrong, for we blend the version in the Gospel of Luke with the version in Matthew together into one pageant and in our celebrations. But in our church year, we really have a special Sunday in which we celebrate the coming of the wise men. And it isn't Christmas. We call it Epiphany, and it's celebrated on January 6th. We're cheating a little bit, and we're celebrating Epiphany today. The word Epiphany means an appearance, a manifestation, a revelation. An Epiphany means the end of the 12 days of Christmas. So today, at the end of our service, we take down the Christmas tree and we take down our decorations, and some of you will be doing the same thing with decorations at home, or you'll wait for the true Epiphany 2 days from now. But right now we want to turn for a few minutes to the story of the wise men. A story that I call a story of vision and venture. A story of adventurous traveling. Matthew uses this word magi to describe these visitors to Bethlehem from the east. What did Matthew mean by magi? Well, way long before Matthew lived, way back around the 6th century BC, the Greek historian Herodotus spoke about a priestly caste of magi among the Medes and the Persians. They were really a caste of people who had special power to interpret dreams and visions. And in time, they became identified with the growth of astrology and even the growth of magic. By the time of Jesus, the term magi was used to describe those engaged in occult arts, covering a wide range of astrologers, fortune tellers, dream interpreters, magicians, all of them being identified as wisdom, going beyond common knowledge, and therefore we called them wise men. I want to make a personal comment at this point, that there's a difference between the Eastern mind, or maybe I should say the biblical mind, and the Western mind. You and I are Westerners. For us, wisdom means the knowledge that is taught in classes, learned in laboratories. To us, wisdom means mastery of what can be handed down, the testing that deals in weights and measures, things that can be proved beyond reasonable doubt. We're trained in the scientific method. For us, wisdom is the means by which we are able to control our destiny. But for those travelers from the East, the magi, the wise men, wisdom is really an epiphany. Wisdom is like a bolt of lightning which splits the darkness and reveals the way things really are. For them, there is the truth to be gained simply by standing in awe of. There's the truth of mystery. There's the truth that can be expressed only by myths, and as the truth is to be grasped by. You see, to them, to know is to be in relationship with. There's the truth to be experienced later at this table this morning, but that truth is a truth to be experienced. There's the truth not that we seek, but rather the truth that seeks us. There's the word that became flesh and blood. Not so much truth to be grasped, but the truth to be grasped by. Let me offer the suggestion this morning that Matthew is telling the hearers that the wisdom of the East, whether gained through the interpretation of dreams, or interpreting the meaning of the stars, or through magic itself, no matter what is that source, it leads to the one born in Bethlehem, the Messiah. As Matthew tells the story, it begins, he tells it in the second chapter, begins with the Magi from the East arriving in this capital city of Jerusalem and asking around as to where the newborn king of the Jews is. We have seen his star at its rising. We've come to pay him homage. Commentators indicate that these Magi came from one of three possible places. They could have come from Persia, or Babylon, or the Syrian desert. In Matthew's time, it would not have seemed unusual to claim that a star rose to herald the birth of the King of the Jews, and subsequently guided those Magi astrologers in their quest to find him. There was this common idea that the births and the deaths of great men were marked by some kind of heavenly sign, namely a star which begins to give light when the famous person is born, and that light then fades when that person dies. Yeah, remember that at the death of Jesus on the cross, there's that description that a great darkness covered the earth. A new star in the sky would signal to those who watched the skies, like the Magi, the birth of someone important. To these Magi, the star meant the arrival of the King of the Jews. The importance of the star for Christians is that it's a symbol of a revelation, of a disclosure, of a manifestation, of an epiphany to those wise men. To them was given a vision. To them came light in the midst of darkness. To them came that which is illuminated. To them, the stars said, God is with us. In the novel Ben-Hur, there's a scene in which the wise men lose sight of the star, but when they are able to see it again, they cry, "The star! The star! God is with us!" You see, we don't really understand the story of the wise men unless we see this as, first of all, the story of an epiphany, of a revelation, of a vision. But the story of the wise men is much more than that. You see, vision is not enough. The story of the wise men is the story of a vision that led to a venture. The story of the wise men is the story of a journey, of a pilgrimage, begun because of that vision. Vision will give us direction, but it does not always give us the details. But each step taken in the light confirms the correctness and the validity of that act of faith. To follow the light is really trust, an act of faith. God gives us the sign, the star, the vision, but it's our choice whether to venture forth or to stay put. For those who have not seen the star, the venture forth of those who do will always seem to be against common sense. It's really impractical, not realistic at all. But to those who are persistent in their journey, the venture will lead to life itself. I think there's a message here for this first Sunday of the new year. The new year offers us fresh vision, an epiphany. But the challenge will be whether or not, in hope, we venture forward. Take to adventurous traveling, led by that vision. Vision, venture, endurance. Almost sounds like a typical Presbyterian sermon of 3 points. Vision, venture, endurance. The story, and I repeat, it's a story. The story of the wise men is the story of endurance. A search of 2 years. With the obstacles of nature's barriers and the obstacles set up by the Herod system of the world. An uncharted journey for those wise men. Only their direction was really determined, and that by a star which did not stay put and therefore provided no fixed bearing by which to journey. I wonder how often they thought about giving up. I wonder how often they talked about their traveling as maybe simply a wild goose chase. I wonder how often they talked about the comforts that they had left behind. I wonder how often they complained to each other about the really senselessness of the whole thing. You see, most ventures are of that nature. Usually the only thing that keeps one on the journey is the vision. You see, 2015 can be a venture if we're moved by some kind of a vision, some kind of dream that we want to see realized. Let me add one additional and important word about adventurous traveling. I'm sure many of you read Henry Van Dyke's story, The Other Wise Men. Van Dyke tells the story of a fourth wise man who set out on his own. And for years and years and years he sought the king. His was a story of frustration and hardship and moments of doubt. But it was also a story of persistence and perseverance. A venture that sought to remain true to the vision. And as you know how that story ends, finally the fourth wise man encounters the long-sought king. But the fourth wise man finds the king on the cross. On the first Sunday of the new year, on this Sunday that we observe as Epiphany Sunday, when we talk about vision and venture and adventurous traveling, how appropriate it is that our worship culminates in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. For you see, I would want to argue that our venture is like that of that fourth wise man. Jesus Christ, born, suffered, crucified, dead, buried, risen, reigning. Let me close by quoting words of David C. Brown, the late pastor of Meadows Baptist Church of Rolling Meadows, Illinois. He writes, "Within the heavenly star we see a glimpse of wondrous possibility. But when the heavenly star moves on, then follow it we must ere the light is gone. And when its brilliance fades from view mid darkening night, its truth we must pursue till searching turns to certainty and hopelessness transform to victory. To see a star, to seek a king, and bow before him with the gifts we bring, to serve our risen, reigning Lord, that's the greatest blessing Christmas can afford." Let us bow together in prayer. Eternal God, may we continue on the venture, Lord, because of the vision. Amen.